Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. Today's epistle reading is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the word before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift, by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. It is the story that God looked down on the earth, and he saw all the evil on the earth. So he decided to find out just how evil the earth was. Were there still enough good people in the earth? So he sent an angel down. Angel came back and reported to him and said, God, I found 95% of the people were bad, only 5% were good. Well, that didn't make God overly happy. So he sent another angel down to see if the first angel was right. Second angel came back and says, Oh Lord, the first angel was right. 95% of the people are bad, only 5% are good. So God decided to send an email to everybody. Didn't you get yours? Neither did I. Now some of you are thinking, wait a minute, I don't have email. You're still out of luck. See, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Martin Luther talks about the old Adam within us, the old sinful man that is in us as a result of Adam and Eve's original sin. The old man plagues us, haunts us, and bothers us constantly to follow his will. We struggle against the old Adam, but we don't like to admit it, that we're in a constant struggle with what I should do and what I do and what I don't do. But this side of Easter, we have victory in Christ. When he rose from the dead, it was proof that he was who he said he was. He took our sins to the cross. And we don't have any sins now that we have to account for. I don't have to stand before God. You don't have to stand before God and account for each and every sin that we've ever committed because the price tag has been paid in full. But the hardest struggle in our life is a struggle over our own independence. See, none of us really like somebody else telling us what to do. Growing up, the worst thing I ever would hear is, you have to do this. No, I don't. Got me in a lot of trouble. But we don't want anybody to rule over us. But yet the Lord has earned that place of power over us. John the Baptist was right with his attitude. He, referring to Christ, must increase, but I must decrease. Christ has to become the king of our lives. Matthew 28, 8 and 9 says, So the women hurried from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Have you fallen at the feet of Jesus? In heaven, we will truly worship God in truth and purity. But on this earth, have we fallen at the feet of Jesus? There's three parts of God's program for worship. Worship Him only, worship Him everywhere, and worship Him sincerely. Worship Him only. In Matthew 4, verse 10, Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. After 40 days of fasting and not having anything to eat and or drink, the devil comes in a series of temptations trying to hammer the weak in Jesus. But Jesus answers him, There's only one God and only Him shall you serve. There's a story about a pastor who one Sunday morning woke up and just decided, I don't feel like going to church today. So he calls up the head elder. Cough, cough. I'm sick. I can't come to church this morning. So elder says, don't worry, pastor. We got it covered. You just get better. You know, so I will. As soon as he got off the phone, he got dressed, got his golf clubs, went out on the golf course. First ball he hits, a 250-yard shot. It bounces off of park bench, hits a tree, ricochets off the garbage can, up onto the green, and it's a hole in one. The angel looked at God and said, well, that's not going to teach the pastor a lesson. And God said, oh, yes, it will, because who's he going to tell? The preacher had no business playing golf on a Sunday morning. I mean, any Sunday afternoon would have been fine, but certainly not on a Sunday morning. He should have been in church worshiping the Lord, and neither should anybody else be playing golf on a Sunday morning. It bothers me when schools have sporting events on Sunday mornings. No, that's a time for worship, and we worship Him only. Romans 1, verses 21 to 25 says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the created, who is forever praised. Amen. Creation is never to be worshipped, only the Creator of all things. There's a story of a young man who told, supposedly this is a true story, who told her pastor that she didn't have time for Christ, but she would as soon as she got her acting career, as soon as her acting career really took off and she made it big. Pastor took out a key, went up to the mailbox and scratched it. And he says, God's only going to let you scratch the surface of success because He is the only one to be worshipped, not a career or anything else. So the woman went off for her career in Hollywood. She made a couple of movies, was on Broadway for a little while. She ran into the pastor a few years later and said, you were right, pastor. I only scratched the surface of success. I could almost get there, but never quite could. That's the way it should be. But it's sad to say that people forsake other things, rather that they forsake Jesus for lesser things. They have a substitute Savior, and it's never to their satisfaction. We are to worship Him alone. Matthew 14, verse 33 says, then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Have you ever heard people say that they can worship God outside? Can you? Sure. You don't have to be in a church to worship God. You can worship God when you're cutting your grass, thanking God you do have grass to cut, thanking God that you have a house. Housework isn't exactly the greatest joy in the world, but you still thank God that you have a house because there's people who don't even have that. You can thank God no matter what situation you find yourself in. Thank God for the little things in life. We worship Him wherever we go. There's a story, Pastor Harry Ironside, a famous Protestant pastor of the past century, was in a restaurant. He was about ready to eat, and he bowed his head. And his friend across the table said, you got a headache? He says, no. Well, is there something wrong with your food? He said, no, I'm just thanking God for the food which I am about to receive. And his friend says, oh, you're one of those kind of people. Well, when I sit down at the table, I realize that food's on the table because I worked hard to put it on the table. I earned every dime I made. I don't have to thank anybody. I just sit down and start woofing it down. Pastor Ironside says, yeah, my dog does the same thing. Pray everywhere. Praise the Lord everywhere. Psalm 150 verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the mighty heavens. Again, praise Him everywhere. Cartoon saw a little boy sitting in church and he says to his mom, Mom, you would rather be cooking dinner. Dad would rather be playing golf and I'd rather be playing football. Why are we in church? Well, why are we here? We'd say to worship God. But are we pressured to go to church? I remember being little, I always enjoyed Sunday school because it made more sense to me. Later on, I loved adult Bible study because they had apple fritters. And it was the one delicacy each week I had to look forward to was my only cup of coffee and an apple fritter donut. And then Bible study wasn't too bad, but the donut made it all work. Wasn't too thrilled with church because the pastor had a habit of preaching for 45 minutes. And I didn't understand anything he said after good morning. Now, things changed as years went on, you know, but there were Sundays I wondered, well, why are we staying for church? Sunday school is done. The good part's done. Let's go home. Well, why are we here? Why do we come to church? 1 Timothy 3 says, these things I write to you, hoping to come to you shortly. If I am too long, that you may know that you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. In Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. We need to examine our hearts. Or are we worshiping in vain, or are we being totally serious and sincere? Do you come to draw near to the Lord and grow in your relationship to Him, or is it all just an outward show? And I would pray that it is out of a desire to have a deeper relationship with Him. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. From Psalm 95, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Obviously, we want to get with God's program of worship. God's program is that we are to worship Him and worship Him only. We are to worship Him anywhere and at all times, and we are to worship Him in complete sincerity. The Christian author C.S. Lewis wrote, it is the process of being worshiped that God communicates His presence to men. It is through worship that we come to know Him, and knowing Him is what life should be for us who are in Christ Jesus. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.